This is a gene.
I don't hear you on my headphones.
It's because your headphones aren't plugged in. You got to plug.
You have to plug the male parts into the female. We were having such an...
We were having such an amazing...
Where do I plug in? There's no plugs. All I see are things filled. There's your plug. We thought we were done. We're not done.
No, we did.
Ed, we just started talking.
We just went to dub.
Hello, Jarastafari.
This is the overtime. We call it the cove.
This is for our... We're letting everybody into our overtime. This is really only for members of theskislope.com.
We're paying subscribers.
But why don't you recap where we're at? Well, I go back to Seamless Web and order my dinner.
Ed. We were talking about mayoral stuff, because Howie Mwah was a mayor. I was a mayor. We were talking about
it's uncomfortable if you say Mwah, isn't it?
I don't even know what it means.
We all don't know.
Is it an
anagram? It's just that we've gotten used to it.
We're still searching.
Wow, you got heavy reverb going. This is like, wow. All right, Ed, back to you.
Drop a beat, Howie. So we were talking about mayoral stuff, and I was remembering in 1976, I had been mayor in 74, Moose was mayor in 75, and Alex Swedlow was running for mayor against Ricky Friedman, who won. And Moose and I were putting our prior political influence behind Alex Swedlow as mayors for Swedlow. But Moose
had a whole organization.
MFS.com.
He had a ground game.
It showed how endorsement politics did not work at Swego. But a very independent thinking electorate.
Listen, they respect our administration's work.
And you really have a reverb going on here. You realize that, right? It's kind of cool. Let's see how this comes out.
This is the dub portion. Moose and I were making the nominating and seconding speeches for Alex. But Moose was not at camp. He had come up late because he broke his leg or his ankle or something.
Right, he was in a cast.
And he sent up an audio tape complete with Hail to the Chief. And that was the nominating speech was made with that. And when I was elected mayor, I had gotten a lot of trouble that day with Arnie
Heller. They played it on the little Panasonic.
I don't remember if there was like a microphone and da-da-da-da-da. And then Moose gave a crazy speech. I gave my speech, and then Swedlow got slaughtered.
I voted for Ricky, I have to say. I love Alex, but I voted for Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky was very politically popular. He was a very nice
Ricky Friedman
guy.
He's a good man.
I got in trouble for making my speech, which Burl Gottlieb was my campaign manager.
Really?
Did you have a campaign? Was I your campaign manager?
It was all grassroots for me, man.
You just went on your own? You didn't have anyone helping you?
I wanted to buck the system.
This is kind of cool. We have like a reverb going. It's kind of like funky.
I was a machine politician back then.
What does that mean exactly?
Part of the Swago machine?
You know, coming from the politically influenced group, I saw an opportunity to go in and crush the opposition with...
Who ran against you?
Donald Tanzer.
Oh, Tanzer, right. And the other
Sharon
guy.
Sharon Tanzer's younger brother. Oh.
Donald was a pussy. He had no chance against you.
He was not considered to be the strongest guy. And Brad Kushner.
Why do you think he had the balls to run against you, Ed? What do you think?
I think Ed ran against him, but I think Ed saw what was going on.
I said, "Can a first-year senior run?" And they said, "Yes." So I said, "I'm running," and I won easily.
What is the bill of?
And I had Moose also running.
Did you have Moose?
Was he like giving you like his right-wing political manifesto to run
no,
on?
No, he just threatened to beat up anybody who didn't vote.
He didn't say just bomb every Iraqi country, everything in the Middle East because I should bomb them.
He probably went to your bunks and said, "You're voting for Ed Burke." And you probably
and
did.
Here's your Southern comfort, and I'm going to get kicked out of camp.
Southern, listen, what real, he promised, I took it, you know. During my speech, I remember saying that, and Blumstein got very mad at me for this.
Really?
Apparently, said, that's a theme.
A theme. Here. Yet, you know, we loved each other. It's a love-hate relationship, I guess. And during the speech, I said, all over the world, children go to bed hungry at night.
Right.
One of those places is Swago. And I called for an evening milk and cookie call, which was instituted.
A solid call.
Although, it was.
As
it
much
was.
As you didn't care about...
banking on the hunger.
You loved fucking milk and cookies.
Sure.
I would go like drink like a quart of milk and like eat three or four chocolate chip cookies.
Do you remember the bugle call for
and,
that?
And my brother and his friends who were waiters were pissed off.
It was
off.
A weird bugle call. It was like a short little one.
Yeah, don't have three things.
And I did take a physical beating for it. Jay Baum was a mayor of Swago.
Really?
Yeah. Boomer.
What year was that?
Tippecanoe
Boomer,
too.
What year is that? 73?
1973.
Really? Interesting.
The Nixon years.
So what was your mayor?
I was mayor in 1980.
And what did you accomplish?
You really know the year, 80.
I put on a light on Canteen Road.
Because Johnny Lee Ramone got his teeth knocked out.
See, I didn't like the light on the road. I wanted to be able to be stealthy.
There was scandalous sexual activity going on.
So just out of curiosity.
It needed to be brought to light.
During our years, there wasn't really a lot of sexual activity. There was, you know, going up on the hill, maybe a little making out, feeling a little titty, whatever. How about back in... That's okay. Burke can hear that. That's my guideline. I want, like, my son can hear or not hear. That's what I'm going to talk about on this podcast. How about in your date, like, were people... Was there anyone ever really getting laid at Swago? That's what I really want to fucking know. Like, was there sex happening with anybody in your... in your years?
I would say...
This is important shit.
This breaks down, man.
Yes.
There was a yes? Yes? This is a yes? Holy shit.
There was sex happening in Swago, at least in the early to mid-70s.
So there were guys who were campers. We're not talking about counselors. Who were going up at 15. I do not believe this was happening. No fucking way. I don't believe it.
Yes.
Give me details. I want details.
I'm not going to talk about the girls that were involved, but they were the beginnings of a foursome that went on.
Whoa. We're not even at threesome. You jumped to foursome. Explain this. Hold on a second. You got to just explain that. What does that mean, foursome? Like?
I was in a bunk with my friend Johnny Eunice.
Okay, this is getting good.
At one point, I look out and... You know, I'm at second base, and I see there's another.
Whoa, hold on! You're in your bunk.
No, the girls.
You got girls into bunk. Your bunk.
In the girls' bunk.
You're in the. So you guys went over to Swatona.
Yes.
You and Johnny Eunice.
Yes.
Peter Frampton are over in Swatona, and you're in the version of L6, L7, L8 for the girls over at Swatona.
Yes.
The other girls are in their little beds next door to you and Johnny Eunice doing your thing
in 90s,
with your girls
by the way.
In the 90s.
It's very rich memory.
Start right there and tell me what's happening.
And as I'm reaching for the other part of second base, I see another hand already there.
So
that's why Johnny Eunice.
You and
John
Eunice are with the same girl.
No, he's with another girl, but he reaches over next.
He's got long enough arms to reach over to your cot.
Very flexible, Johnny Eunice.
Get involved in whatever you're trying to make happen.
Johnny's made it happen.
Johnny.
I believe I need to regroup with John Eunice.
Johnny Eunice.
Next guest on the show.
Johnny Eunice and Glenn Herman, the two coolest guys to ever go to Swago. Greatest thing, Glenn Herman, really good looking guy, a doctor. He put an ad in like a magazine, Richard Gere lookalike doctor.
That's what John Eunice did?
No, Glenn Herman, good looking guy.
That's amazing.
Got like thousands of letters.
But wait, let's not sell you short, Ed. You're in the female equivalent, Swatona equivalent of L6, L7, LA, and you're on a cot on the bed with a Swatona girl? Like trying to put your hands down her pants? Is that what you're saying to me?
What pants are there? Are there pants there? Or is it just
they're sweats. They're sweatpants at this point.
I don't, you know.
Did she respond? Did she accept your advances?
It was a great night.
We have to include this as part of the podcast. This is the best
part. This is podcast after dark right here.
I'm feeling like I don't know how much more I could talk about.
Okay, so let me just back up here. Was John Eunice, to the best of your knowledge, having intercourse with Swatona girls?
I think I want to know.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
I don't want vagaries.
And then you can elaborate.
And it's my contention.
Was that a yes?
Staff as well. Johnny Eunice was
Johnny Eunice was a very cool guy.
and certainly with girls. And
I should have been hanging more with John Hughes.
I was lucky. We were really,
I wish I had some John
Hughes. We spent 2 years as really, really close friends. Second year senior and waiter year. We were really tight.
So he would come back to L.A. and tell you the stories of how you just banged some fucking counselor over at Swatow.
No, I, the staff counselor? Thing I was really just
I'm all right with Burke hearing this.
But he was a camper and she was a counselor?
No, no.
That's what he said. He said he was doing it with staff.
Out there, not
oh, shit. Come on. Don't do the hyperbole just for hyperbole's sake.
It was hyperbole for hyperbole's sake. But it was with campers, with the girls.
It was all about. It was
popular, including girls that I was trying so hard to get, but they, like, no, Johnny Unis.
Did you, all right, Ed, I want honesty right now.
Yes.
Did you feel any Swatona breasts in all of your time?
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. Who was it?
Welcome to the Name Your Breast portion.
What's that? You can't remember?
He's not going there.
It's the first tit you felt in your life and you can't remember.
I can't give
He names. Can, but he's
being polite.
I don't feel right giving names.
He's gallant.
Really? You These think are... she'd give a shit that she was 14 and let you feel her tit?
Yeah, I like his sort of...
You like the mystery?
I like his sort of honor code.
Fine, I respect your commitment to privacy.
Yeah, I just
don't want to listen to 52-year-old woman feel like she's a whore.
She knows who he is.
She's smiling.
She possibly is listening to this podcast and saying, "That was my boob that Ed felt. I was the one that Ed was feeling up at that time." But who knows?
All right. I don't know if it was a good idea to come back to the podcast.
We're going
to
leave right now.
We may edit this out. This may be like the unedited, Ed, like awesome. You buy the collector's edition, you get this
you
part.
You have to be a member of our podcast.
This is the After Midnight.
This is podcast after dusk. Ski Slope After Dark.
And we're going to say with that, Ed, awesome guest. We fucking loved having you as our third guest on
Ski Slope. And don't start talking again, otherwise we'll have to turn this thing off.
And we're going to call it quits, and we love you.
Peace.
Peace out.
Good night.